Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday afternoon. We had East this time every Monday. We check in with Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Jay Gruden has been shown the door in Washington. Bill Callahan will take over as the interim. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope you guys are. My story about me selling tennis shoes to Jay Gruden at a sporting goods store in Tampa, I guess, doesn't have the same luster today as it maybe once did.
Really?
Well, yeah, when he, you know, his Arena Football League quarterback and then coach. He was at the Tampa Bay Storm and moved on to Orlando. So, yeah, he was kind of a big deal in the mid-state and obviously famous bro. But yeah, one back in the day.
Look at you. Good story to start off. The announcement has been made. Tennessee will travel down to Tuscaloosa on October 19th and take on the Tide at 8 p.m. Central, 9 o'clock Eastern kickoff on ESPN.
Wow.
The Vols have dropped 12 straight to Bama. Make it 13 here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, hey, now. I hadn't seen that just coming back from the post game, but man. Yeah, that's look, I guess Nick Saban doesn't like the noon kickoffs, so, or I guess 11 a.m. Central time for them, so they gave them anything but that.
Yeah, anything but that. All right, let's start with the news that happened during the week. So let's get your, because we haven't talked to you since all this went down. Jeremy Banks is no longer on the team, but let's just start with the video that surfaced. Obviously, you guys were all over it. Just your initial thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt, how he handled it, Jeremy Banks and the arrest. Let's start there, and then we'll go to where we are today.
Well, first with Banks, just bizarre, unacceptable. You know, there's people in the recruiting process that defended Jeremy Banks and said he was a good kid, but just had been, you know, steered in the wrong direction and made some mistakes. And so, you know, I think this coaching staff knew that he was going to need some molding and maturing, things like that. But man, that what was on that video was a terrible look. And, you know, it looked like it was going to the path of, you know, them not just kicking him immediately to, you know, to the curb and off the team and trying to get him to overcome this, but sort of on a last straw type of plan. And then apparently more information came out with, you know, with another incident prior to that, and that was too much to overcome. Now, whose call was it? You know, was it all Pruitt after, you know, laying out that, hey, he needed to be straight and narrow, or was it someone from above that said, no, this is unacceptable, you got to do something about this? So I think that's unclear at the moment. Now, as far as Jeremy Pruitt, I wasn't crazy about the kind of his tone with the officer. You know, I thought they were watching it. I thought they were trying to help the kid out, and they were very patient with him and took a lot verbally from him, considering, you know, what, you know, who he is. And it just didn't, I didn't think they gave him preferential treatment, but I think they were very patient with him. And, you know, I just kind of thought that, and I'm guessing probably the, you know, the police community, I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing they probably didn't care for that kind of portrayal of, hey, this is, I've worked, you know, four places, and this is the, you know, the silliest of the situation that we've had, and then kind of at the end, go do your civic duty. And I just had a tone of, you know, thanks for not helping my football player out. Maybe he didn't mean it that way. I think it came across that way. So that, you know, that wasn't a great look. But you know, there he ended up, after finding out more, I think doing what you know, a lot of people want him to do in the first place, and that's remove Banks from the team. It's bizarre, but man, there ended up being too much there for him to keep him on, even though you don't want to just immediately kick a kid like that off because you knew going in that he was going to be some work. But, you know, just very unfortunate, not a good look.
Since when do people get arrested when they have warrants? That's just, I didn't know. When did that start happening?
Right. And it was explained multiple times. You know, I know he's groggy middle of the night.
Right, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We get it. But
right.
He's got a warrant, coach. I mean, hello. That's kind of how it works.
Yep.
You got a warrant. Yeah. And here's the other part. And you know how this works, Vince. When you're winning at a high clip, you know, things like this tend to come and go. But when you're not, it's got to be handled differently, right? When you're under a lot of heat and pressure. And that's usually how it works. And I wasn't surprised at all, because if they were undefeated and they're coming off a 10-win season last year, my guess is we're not talking about any of this today. This is not even a story. But when you're not and things are not great, it all has to be handled differently. That's just my two cents.
Well, so, I think if he had a warrant and the same scenario happens, you know, made an illegal U-turn or parking, or I forget exactly what the reason was, but if he ends up getting to that point, he's going to get arrested regardless of what his record is. So that part of it, I don't think necessarily changes. I think the reaction to it and the criticism is what would have changed, and maybe Jeremy Pruitt, if he's in a better spot, doesn't talk the same way or doesn't react the same way, or, you know, just takes up, hey, you handle it, we'll deal with it because, you know, things are going well. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that it happens, not a great look, you keep moving because it's about winning football games, but it gets stashed. And then when a case starts to be made against you, it ends up adding to the pile-on. And you don't want to build too deep of a log of those kind of things. And we saw it during Butch Jones. Points of criticism, mad, we move on, but not forgotten. You know, kind of like in marriages to some extent, relationships. You know, you don't forget things. You just bring them back up when it's time to make a case against you, and I think that's where this falls.
What about Jake Fromm going a little savage after the game down underneath? Did you see how he ended his little chat with the media? Have you seen that video?
No, I did not.
Have you got? You seen it, Chase?
I have not.
Well, I'll send it to you during the break. Going savage, singing the
like singing, Randy Savage or
no, not Randy Savage. Oh, okay. Going Rocky Top, heading into the locker room,
and
we gave a little woo on the way in.
Ooh,
yeah, good old Rocky Top. Yeah, he did that on the way in.
You win by 29. I guess you can do that.
His play is savage. I mean, that kid is so good.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It really makes you. It shows the separation between the quarterback play that teams that don't win don't get, and the elite programs. I mean, he's kid's special.
All right, what did you make of the decision to go with a different quarterback, a different look under center? What did you make of it?
You know, I thought going into the week, I had been saying that, hey, your best chance to win would be with Garantano because the other guys – hadn't shown that they were ready. We didn't know if they were ready. They didn't have any experience. But going into the open week and after seeing what we saw at Florida and that continuing to just go the wrong direction, I thought with the open week and because they needed to switch things up, see if they can get a new energy, give somebody else an opportunity, I thought it was the right decision. I said that last week a number of times, that I thought it was time for them to give Brian Maurer an opportunity. You know, Maurer has separated from JT Shroud. I think his ability to escape pass rush and run the football some, and sort of his energy and his moxie, I think separated him from JT Shroud, who's a year older as a redshirt freshman. And obviously he got the playing time in the Florida game also. So I think over the open week, during those 2 weeks, they started out splitting the reps, and eventually I think they did go to a game plan for Maurer, which was different. Pruitt admitted today that it was different than the game plan for a Jared Garantano. I thought it was the right move, and he, especially in that first half, was terrific. And he wasn't perfect. He missed on a first couple throws, and there was times where he was a little errant. But, man, he got rid of the football. He was decisive, and he showed he has arm talent, and he wasn't afraid of the moment. It wasn't too big for him. He made some mistakes, for sure. Pruitt was talking about, you know, sometimes he was reading the wrong, you know, half of the field and things like that, which, of course, tells me that he had a limited reads to it, to where he didn't have full progressions. They gave him half-field reads, and sometimes he would just go to the wrong side. So that tells me they made it a little bit easier for him. Now, I don't know that they've necessarily done that for Garantano, so does that mean that Garantano had to make the most of full progressions and all reads, that they simplified things for him, but they did for Maurer? I don't know. I don't know that they ever got to the stage of simplifying things and taking some of the responsibility away from Garantano like they did for Maurer. But Maurer was really good. He made it, you know, after receivers weren't open in the second half, he was holding on to the ball a little bit longer, but the ball came out of his hands quick. He was decisive and poised and didn't stare down receivers. I thought he clearly impacted his teammates, and that's something that, unfortunately, Jared Garantano has not done. He's been more reactionary as opposed to Maurer kind of trying to take control of that team. I think he gave him great juice, so I definitely think it was the right decision.
All right, Max, turn this up. I want to see if you can hear this. I'm going to attempt to play this, Vince. So
I think Max may have it.
You got it? Okay, maybe Max has it. This will be better. So this is right as he's done. Okay, here we go. That was Jake Fromm answering the last question, then walking into, he said, thanks, guys, and then walking into the locker room.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? Savage move. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, you're Georgia. Do you really, you know, do you really get great joy out of, you know, pouncing on Tennessee? Maybe, you know, look, I get it. Wins are hard to come by. You're a college student. They're all fun, and I guess he was just having some fun. I'm surprised he did it, but it's not the end of the world.
Doesn't bother me one bit. I don't care.
Yeah,
doesn't bother me at all. They won the game.
Well, that's great. You're not a Tennessee fan, so
no, I'm not.
You don't buy season tickets, so
but it shouldn't bother anybody. You lost by 29, so
okay,
just deal with it.
All right, we will come back. Just deal with it, as Jay says. Just deal with
look,
this season.
They're saying we've dealt with a lot.
Yeah, I was
already,
saying,
right? We're
like,
sick of dealing
like
with
that's
it.
A real comfort after the last decade. Just deal with it. Oh, okay. Now that you put it that away. 1-4. All right, we'll come back. More with Vince Ferrara, the sports animal. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's him. Chase McCabe, that's me. Talking with Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville, the sports animal, as the Vols coming off the big loss to Georgia. But I do want to start, Vince, with...
is this in lieu of their next game, Max?
Yeah, Mississippi Queen. That's
good.
Look at
you.
That's good.
Look at you.
That's good stuff back there.
Starkville coming to town.
We will talk about Mississippi State in just a few minutes. But I look at the start of this game, and I'm not trying to believe in moral victories and things like that, but at least...
Good, because Mike Tomlin doesn't believe in them.
He does not. He does not believe in moral victories. But for a quarter and a half... It's like, okay, hey, they were fired up. You had a new quarterback. They've had the lead. I mean, is there anything that you took away from that that are like, okay, hey, that's what we need to see?
Well, the fact that it was better than anything we had seen the first four games, then yes, I don't think you can just fully gloss over that.
They showed life.
Right. And look, the way I summarize that game is it was better, but they were mismatched by an elite team. And the difference in that than what we had seen or the expectations going in is the better part. Because them being better was better than what a lot of us expected or had seen before. So that's not nothing, and that's against a good team. It doesn't guarantee anything moving forward, but it's still, it's a sign of life. It's a sign, especially for the fans, that now with a new quarterback that they can do some things. It also makes them a little mad. We've already heard, well, we would have been at least three and one with Maurer at quarterback because of the Georgia State and BYU close losses. So there's that anger part of it, but at least they feel like for a lot of fans that they can move forward now with a new quarterback, build off of this, and be optimistic and have something to sink their teeth into. Whereas after that Florida game, what did you have to sink your teeth into in terms of buying into this team with any kind of realism more than just fandom? You didn't. There was right. Nothing. So now that they've made that move at quarterback, even though Pruitt hasn't committed to it fully yet, I guess we'll talk about that. But I think it is significant. It can't just be glossed over that they made plays against an elite team. Elite team made adjustments. Tennessee's been terrible in second halves of games. You know, depth, talent, all those kind of things is where you're going to lose second halves. And that's the reality of where they're at. But it still was better than anything they had put out there the first 4 weeks, and it starts with the quarterback.
So why isn't he making a long-term commitment? I mean, listen, Garantano has been here. I get all that, and I understand there's a little bit of loyalty, but if Maurer is the guy and you think that your team's going to play better, then why is he not making that commitment?
Well, I think it's always really delicate with quarterbacks, right? I mean, quarterbacks are willing to pick up and leave at any point. And I'm not saying that Jarrett would, but it's always something that you have to manage those personalities. So that is one factor. Two, Brian Maurer is a true freshman. I don't know that Pruitt wants to take the edge off of him as a competitor and just give him that gig as a true freshman, and you don't know how he's going to handle that. Now, fans will absolutely lose it if he's not the quarterback on Saturday, but I still think he wants to continue to keep him on edge, keep him working, trying to get better, and not just hand it to him. Now, I'll give Pruitt credit. He said he'd have to have a bad week of practice not to be right. He said, we'll see how it goes. So he's basically telling Brian Maurer, as long as you don't act like you're the big man on campus and you've arrived this week, you're going to get to start. But I'm not ready to do that. Remember last year, he really didn't commit to Garantano for a long time.
Yeah.
his starting quarterback. He wanted to keep the week-to-week practice competition. So I think that's all he's doing there.
What's up with the run game? It still continues to be an issue, and they have talent. I mean, we've seen flashes, but I mean, it's just not enough right now, especially when you have a true freshman quarterback or you have a struggling quarterback in Garantano. I just feel like they got to get more out of them.
Well, here's something that's eye-opening to your question, Chase. I'm just looking and comparing the team stats of Mississippi State and Tennessee. Mississippi State's part-time quarterback, Garrett Schrader, has 8 less yards rushing than Tennessee's leading rusher, Ty Chandler. And he didn't even play all the time. He splits time at quarterback, yet he has more yards and more yards per game and more yards per average, 6.8 to Chandler's 5.4. He has just as many rushing touchdowns as Chandler and averages 78 yards per game versus Chandler's 64. I don't know. I think they were in a groove in the passing game, so I think they went to that a little bit more. Pruitt mentioned that there were times where there were run opportunities that Maurer should have run and threw the ball in some RPO situations. That's maybe Maurer just feeling good. And look, you know, a lot of those worked out in the first half, but there could have been more runs. And then the big thing is the second half, when you're behind, then you got to throw more. And that takes away opportunities. But they just are not good enough yet. They've gotten better on the offensive line pass blocking, but still it's not there yet. And part of the problem too against that opponent is they're better running outside than they are between the tackles. And against a team like a Georgia or a Florida with an elite defense, it's hard to get on the perimeter against them. So I think they kind of knew that, so at times maybe didn't even bother.
What did you make of, I know it was brought up in his press conference that there were a couple players that got into it on the sideline. He said he didn't see it, but that he got told about it, was fired up. He likes that there was some passion around there, that there were guys getting after each other. What was your takeaway of that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I expected him to say, and I bet there's plenty of fans. In fact, I heard from someone. I was headed down to the field after towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter, that said, good, we need more of that. And that was basically Pruitt. And that goes back to kind of the way I view this team. And one of my concerns still moving forward is that I don't know that they have enough guys that take losing as unacceptable and are absolutely peed off about it. And that you just don't – I think some of these guys, we talked to some of them in the post game, I think they're almost – there's a little bit of a numbness to it. I think some of those looked at it as, hey, we played good against a top team. We'll keep working and get better. And they weren't mad about it. And to Pruitt's credit, at least he said, look, I don't think we should get patted on the back just for playing hard. That's not – the standard here. So I give him credit for saying that, because there's a portion of the fan base that feels that way. They're not taking anything positive out of this Georgia game. They don't want to hear it. They want to win games. Tennessee now has lost, 22 straight against top five teams. There's some that just are not – you lost the game, period. Time to beat someone you're not supposed to and show that you're turning the corner. So I think that's a credit for Pruitt to throwing that out there, but I don't think there's enough of those guys to where it's devastating to them. It's almost a little bit of a concern for me for Henry T, who I love, Toto. I didn't think he had his best game, but he is such a nice kid. I just think he loves playing football. I just would hope that they can turn things around before this kid loses too much, and then it's not something that he's going to be mad about and just try to impact his teammates. There's not enough guys that take it as unacceptable, it appears, with that team. And that's, I think, a little bit of what Pruitt's alluding to there.
What did you make of Philip Fulmer's comments on Vol calls last week about him possibly being on the sidelines?
Yeah, I think it was right for him to address it, because those rumors have been out there a lot, and the more the losses mount, the more there's that talk. Now, it doesn't in the end guarantee anything or mean anything, change day to day, much less week to week. So I think it was good for him to address, but it doesn't mean that couldn't change. And yeah, there's the whole, hey, kiss of death that you're giving your support to a coach. I don't know that I viewed it necessarily that way. He's tied to him. It's not like
he hired him. What do you
want
him to say?
So, yeah, he's of course he wants him to succeed. So if he was a new AD and didn't hire Pruitt and he gave him a vote of confidence, and you know he has natural ties to other coaches, things like that, then I would look at it differently. But he wants him to turn this thing around. So I was fine with that. I thought it was right. But again, it's nothing absolute in those comments.
If we were to end with this, what do you think the percentages are that Jeremy Pruitt is back on the sidelines for a year three? What would you put that percentage at today if I ask you that?
I'd still say pretty high. I'm not going to say 100% or 99% or anything like that. I still think it's very high. Look, if they don't win another game this year, that's a different situation. You know, even if they win one more game, I think that could potentially be in play. Who knows what other off-the-field issues or mess pops up. You have to factor recruiting, too. That's another issue that they have, is if they don't win more games, they're not going to get the recruits they need to help turn this thing around. Now you're bringing in Pruitt players, but they're not the Pruitt players that he most wants, and then it slows the – he's not going to see it out. So, and they already have ground to make up now. So they got to find a way to win games. I think win some games, I think it'll be enough. It'd have to be a total disaster. I mean, one or two wins, I think, for them to make a change. So with that being said, I'd say probably 85%, something like that, he's back. Wow.
All right. Well, probably won't be the last time I ask you that. We'll see if that changes.
See if it changes
in about 3 weeks.
Fluid situation, as
well. Yeah, definitely.
Look, if they win this weekend, that could definitely change some things.
Absolutely. They got to be somebody worthwhile and win in conference, because they're 2-17 in their last 19 SEC games.
That is not good. Vince, thanks for the visit. As always, you have a great week.
All right. Enjoyed it. Thanks, guys. You
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Vinny.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. Good stuff. As always, he joins us every Monday at high noon. This is What I Know coming up in about 10 minutes. Have a really good prize to give away. Teron Davenport in studio with us in the final hour. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Got a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett at Bridgestone Arena.
Nice.
This Saturday. That's what's on the line for TWIC. This is what I know. This is what I know. The Astros lead the Rays 1-0 in the second inning. Stros leading that series 2-0. So they're in Tampa, and right now Houston has jumped out to the early 1-0 lead. Jay Gruden has been sent packing in Washington as the Redskins head coach. You just heard it. UT and Alabama will kick off their October 19th tilt down in Tuscaloosa. It'll be at 8 o'clock Central kickoff on ESPN, Vanderbilt, Missouri. That'll be here on that same weekend, on that same Saturday. That'll be an SEC Network game, and they will kick off at 3 p.m., Vanderbilt and Missouri here over on West End. Mike Sullivan, the head coach of the Penguins, says that Malkin and Bugstad, how about that, are both out long-term with lower body injuries. Malkin and Bugstad.
That's tough for them. Especially Evgeny Malkin, who is one of the top players for the Penguins and fighting injury. And he did say it doesn't look like it's season ending, but definitely long term. So I'm wondering what that means. Does Jimmy Rutherford pick up the phone or make some calls? Who knows? But that's a big player to lose for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No doubt about it. Teron Davenport, TD in studio with us in the final hour of the program. College-wise, over the weekend, and I know a lot more, we'll get into this more tomorrow with Mitch Light from Athlon Sports, but you look around, you had Florida with the big win at home. They remain undefeated, so we can keep saying we don't trust them.
I know.
We don't think they look legit. But we'll also find out a little bit more this week about them.
Oh, yeah. And you and I were sitting there at Barrel House Saturday night talking about them, and I'm like, I still want to say they're not, like, the best. They're not great, but they're undefeated.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they find a way to win.
They get the ultimate test this weekend in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Well, and I thought Auburn was really, really good. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I think I saw 14.
Is the line 14?
I think that's what I saw. Let me see. I can look it up real quick. But, you know, you got to give the edge to LSU on that, even though Florida has been pretty good. So The line is 13.5.
Wow.
LSU favorite.
What is the Tennessee-Mississippi State line in Knoxville? I'm going to say I have not seen any lines.
Okay.
That line is going to be around a field goal?
A little higher.
A little higher.
Yeah, 6.5. Mississippi State favored by 6.5, according to Vegas Insider.
Man.
Yeah.
Vols a 6.5-point underdog to a Mississippi State team. That's not exactly Dak Prescott and Dan Mullen.
No. Care to take a guess on UNLV Vandy?
Well, UNLV stinks.
I'm going to say 8.5.
So pick them.
Yeah. You say 8.5?
8.5, Vandy favored.
What were they over Northern Illinois? 6.5? Yeah, it's going to be higher because, like I said, UNLV stinks.
Okay.
10.
14.5.
Mm. Yeah. Like I said, UNLV stinks.
Opened at 17, so according to Vegas Insider.
Came down.
Yes, sir.
And how big of a favorite is Georgia over South Carolina? Was it 21? In
Georgia,
Athens, I want to say 20.5. Actually, it may be higher than that.
24.5.
Yeah.
It seems about right. And that's, isn't that what it closed up for Tennessee? They were favored by 24.5?
They were favored by 24.5 in Knoxville. Yeah. Yeah.
So, seems about right. South Carolina.
So that's what the that's what the odds makers think of South Carolina and Tennessee. Just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia was a 24.5-point favorite in Knoxville. Georgia's a 24.5-point favorite at home against South Carolina.
Arkansas, Kentucky. Kentucky is 7-point favorite at home. And so Missouri, an 11-point favorite over Ole Miss.
I think there's going to be some coaching changes, I think.
In the SEC?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny because we were all down at SEC Media Days, and it was like, Gus Malzahn, he's the only one that is remotely close to being on the hot seat. And I think that's changed quite a bit since then. I think he's safe because they've obviously been a lot better than people thought, and there's going to be some, Will Muschamp, does he survive? What does that look like? I mean, obviously Jeremy Pruitt.
Matt Luke at Ole Miss.
Matt Luke. What does that look like?
Got to be honest. Joe Moorhead safe.
I think so.
I think so, too. But just saying.
Chad Morris.
Safe at Arkansas? That thing has looked yuck.
Got much better.
Yuck. Looks the same as Bielema.
And, I think you got to ask the question. I think Derek Mason's back, but what does that look like, even after getting a contract extension? So.
I think it'll be a yeah, but.
Yeah, it's a yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like, you're back, but you got to.
Like, this year's going to, like, the next year will have to be.
Right, because that would be year seven mm-hmm. for him. Yeah. Yep.
All right, we'll come back. This is what I know to close out the third hour. Good tickets on the line. Thomas Rhett at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday, but you're going to have to call in and participate. It's very simple. You just tell us what you know. 737-1025. Your phone call's next. Okay, this is where you participate. Boop, 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 boop. That's dialing 615-737-1025. That's what that sound effect was. That was you participating in This Is What I Know. Thomas Rhett tickets on the line. Bridgestone Arena this Saturday night.
That'll be a good show.
Boop, 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 boop. 615-737-1025. Chase, this is what I know. Last week here in the Mid-State was not a good week for high school football.
It was not.
There was some really, really, really weird stories over the last 7 to 10 days concerning high school football. We know the Glencliff story
mm-hmm.
and how the different turns, twists and turns that story took. Then you had a story in Williamson County with the Ravenwood staff.
Yeah. Matt Williams, the head coach there, Ryan Fowler, an assistant, suspended for, I guess they termed it inappropriate
coaching. Former Titan.
Yep.
Ryan Fowler.
Inappropriate coaching practices at practice or something is what it was termed as. But, yeah, it was very weird. A weird week for sure with Glencliff shutting down football, and then they weren't, and then, you know, going around and around and around. So, yeah, that's a good one.
And they got a lot of injured players. Mm-hmm. What they have at the time they announced they were shutting down for the season, that's 17 players?
Yeah, something like
that.
And
then all of a sudden they're back, and kids are so just a weird 7 to 10 days of high school football stories. Weird and not a good way.
Yeah, and the whole Ravenwood thing is just like, what are you doing? Like, really? Like, just you know, I understand coaches are going to be involved in practice and things like that. You just have to be careful. I mean, you have to. There's certain lines you can't cross. So it was definitely a weird week.
All right, what do you know?
This is what I know. The NFL, once again, worried about things they don't need to worry about. They have fined injured Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger,
$5,000. $5,000.
Do you know why?
Yes, I do. But you're going to tell everybody.
For a uniform violation. Well, you may say, Chase, he's not playing. He's not wearing
what
a uniform.
He's standing on the sidelines.
Because he wore his Apple Watch on the sideline as the Steelers hosted the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night. This was his first game back on the sideline after having surgery that puts him out for the rest of the season. According to the report from Adam Schefter of ESPN, Roethlisberger is said to be livid about the fine and will appeal it. Well, he should be livid because it's stupid. You're going to fine an injured player for standing on the sideline. He wore his watch, his Apple Watch. And don't come at me saying, well, Chase, the rules say that you can't wear electronic devices that send messaging. Okay. He's hurt. $5,000? Really? Maybe how about a note of, hey, Ben, could you just not do that again?
Or not worry about, you know, stuff like that on the sidelines. It's something that is offensive or something that you can't, real no-no. An Apple Watch, really?
Maybe you should worry about your crappy officiating. Maybe you should look into that.
Maybe.
Maybe you should worry about the cart not working for the quarterback that got literally knocked out.
They said it was. It wasn't the cart.
Oh, well, whatever.
It wasn't the cart's fault.
Yeah, maybe you should worry about that stuff instead of worrying about a $5,000 fine for wearing an Apple Watch.
The guy who got knocked out said he didn't need it, Chase.
Mm. As he was looking around going, am I at Oklahoma State?
Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
All right, let's find out what you know. Loaded lines.
I love it.
737-1025. Tell us what you know. Tony, get us started. What do you know?
This is what I know, guys. I'm glad my wife remembered my birthday, Saturday, and as she gave me two great gifts. One is the book by Barry Goheen, Buzzer Beaters.
Nice.
And the second was a gift card for car wash, which after this wonderful rain we've got, I get to use that. I'm thankful she remembered my birthday, guys, and that's what I know.
Has she forgot it in the past, Tony?
No, sir, she has not. Okay. She's really good about it.
All right.
Have you always remembered hers?
Yes, sir. Thanks.
There you go. All right. Very good. By the way, we're going to get Barry Goheen on the show. He does have a new book out. Buzzer Peters, as you just heard Tony say. All right. That leaves one line available, 737-1025. Let's see. Tim has been waiting the longest. Tim, what do you know?
Hey, guys. This is what I know. Vanderbilt's defense has given up on their yards per play. We rank 129th out of 130th. I sure am glad our head coach is a defensive guru because we would probably be 130th if he wasn't.
Yeah.
This is what I know.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. It has been hard to explain that one, why they have had so many struggles on defense and tackling over the years whenever that was the one, you know, that's what we all knew. That's what Derek Mason, right, mm-hmm. he has had on shutting down that Oregon offense, Pac-12 offense.
Yeah, hasn't quite worked. This is what I know. The Tampa Bay Rays have taken a 3-1 lead over the Astros with a three-run jack in the bottom of the second inning.
Who was it?
Kevin, is it Kymier? How do you say it? I don't know how you say his last name, but that guy.
Thank you. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Right, that guy right there. Let's go to Justin. Justin, what do you know?
This is what I know, guys. Mother Nature in Nashville is upset with the Titans as much as I am. She decided to come out 2 days later after Saturday and go down 40 degrees and cry all day today.
Yeah.
Nothing but rain. We're all going to get sick.
Thank you, Justin.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Really? Are we going to complain about the temp drop and the rain after it's October and we've been in the 90s, the high 90s?
I think he was making a point about Mother Nature. Just saying. You know, we haven't seen rain or...
Oh.
We've seen 100 degrees and no rain for, it feels like, months.
And then the Titans lose.
Lose to the Bills.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all. He's just trying to make a point.
Still, I'm glad. I opened the windows.
I'm not sure he was complaining. I think he was just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Barrett, down the borough. Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, I know that the cart in Pittsburgh that didn't work was operator error. It was fully functional, but the person attempting to operate it just didn't know how.
You know that how?
I'm an insider, man. Okay. I got people.
Okay. Listen, you know.
I just want to know if that was sourced or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's solid. It was pilot error.
Barrett is our Steeler insider.
If you say that was sourced, we believe you.
It's in the Post-Gazette. So.
Well, that you'd have to tell us that. We just would have gone on your sources.
But this is what I know, man. My Steelers cannot catch a break at all. Did you see that filthy, disgusting, dirty, nasty hit right to the guy's face? And the Baltimore defender says, oh, well, I wasn't trying to go high. 5'10", and Rudolph is 6'5", okay? So he had to launch off his feet. He was launching and right at his jaw, and the poor kid was out before he hit the ground. It was horrible.
That's scary.
And then the guy whose name I don't even know comes in, and that kid's looking good. And he's taking him down the field to send it to overtime. And then he hits Juju across the middle to put him damn near, could have been a touchdown, and he just fumbles. So we just cannot catch a break. I've been in every one of these games, except New England, of course. But 1-4 is a bad look, and it hurts. But, oh, well, you guys have a great day.
Hey, Barrett, I've got sources, too. You know what they tell me?
What's that?
Today's your birthday, so happy birthday.
Thank you, gentlemen, very kindly.
See, I got good sources, too. You're not the only person with sources.
Working hard and listening to the show as always. Keep up the great work, Joe.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Devlin Hodges is the quarterback he was referring to.
The Duck.
Out of Samford.
Let's go to Curtis. Curtis, what do you know?
You know, this is what I know. I hate it when fans blame the refs for losses. But with that being said, this year's officiating has been awful on so many games. And in New Orleans on Sunday, it was just dreadful. And it didn't cost us the game necessarily. But I don't know if the NFL is just trying to make up for how many times they cheated the Saints in the NFC Championship game in the beginning of the season. But it is just awful. It's like none of the refs, it's like they got them from college, didn't tell them any of the rules in the NFL, and just said, go throw flags this year. It has just been awful. Thank you, guys, for letting me get that off my chest.
Thank you, Curtis. Hope you feel better. Jason Garrett is usually pretty mild-mannered and pretty stoic on the sidelines. Even he got an unsportsmanlike conduct yesterday for his actions. The Packers-Cowboys game was poorly officiated. It was bad. Let's go to Doug. Doug, what do you know?
This is what I know. You can blame Mariota for many losses. Yesterday's game was blamed on the 2Ks and part of the spelling. Kicking and coaching. How do you put a kicker out there not to miss one, not two, not three, but four chances? Not Mariota this time. Kicking and coaching.
Doug, you're right.
There you go, the two Ks. Thank you, Doug. Kicking and coaching.
Can't disagree with him on that. Can't blame this one on number eight.
And finally, Gator Tim. Tim, what do you know?
This is what I know. That loss is clearly on Mike Vrabel. For 6 weeks in the preseason when Suckup was hurt, we laughed at him about using a backup punter for kicking duties, and he poo-pooed it like it was no big deal. Then he gets a guy on a Tuesday tryout, watches him kick for 45 minutes, signs him, and this guy's been kicking all year, And if he would have taken a little more seriously, got four or five kickers in here for the preseason so he could see what their mental makeup is, they probably could have hit three of those four field goals yesterday and actually won the game.
Mm. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. We will give a winner.
It's kind of on John Robinson, though. He signs the players. So
I think both of them could probably share some blame in that. We'll come back final hour with, speaking of that, Teron Davenport talking with TD coming up in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned right here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.